This episode's guest is an East Kentucky singer-songwriter whose first single went platinum. His first EP was held as a sonic treasure by People magazine, and Rolling Stone said he'd do Merle Haggard proud. Today, he's released his sophomore album, Damascus, and we've got the interview to accompany it. Our guest, LV Shane. Tune in and chill out as we bring you the people and places across Kentucky that inspire and amuse. This is Muse. Welcome to Muse. On this very special episode, we're talking to LV Shane about his much-anticipated second album, Damascus. Damascus is a euphonious testimony of the personal and creative journey from lost to found. LV Shane's willingness to play what he feels and speak from the heart takes the listener on a joyride around genre lines. Every song is a musical memoir of a stage in LV's growth and observations between his first and second albums. LV joined me on a Zoom chat. Good morning.
Good morning, Crystal. How are you?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
He seemed very comfortable on the mic in a black hoodie and his trucker hat.
I like that hat.
Thank you. I do too.
It says support blue collar.
We get into the album itself, but first, I'm always interested in the process behind the work. So in my experience, there are two types of creative people, those who get a burst of creativity and those who can turn it on and off. Which would you consider yourself to be?
I'm not the type that can turn it on and off, for sure. This last project that we just worked on was very focused, and I felt inspired for an extended period of time, but I only wrote a handful of songs, and you know, we only recorded a portion of those. I think we wrote 20-something songs in a year and a half, 2 years, and recorded 13. So, yeah, I'm more of like a... I read a Willie Nelson book one time. I don't want to say I'm like Willie Nelson because that would be high claims, but he just talked about where he only tries to write when he feels inspired. So that's generally how I try to approach it as well.
What's your ideal creative environment?
It differs. Most of the time I like to be in a space that is, you know, dedicated to music, whether it's a cabin with a few friends and guitars and a piano or something, or I really, really enjoy writing at my producer, Oscar Charles' studio. Have a lot of good times there, and typically things come to us fairly easy. I like to, you know, be able to create the music. I love to write with just a guitar sometimes, but you know, being able to get on the drums, the piano, the synth, the guitars, and actually create the song as a whole instead of just the words sometimes can be really inspiring, or much more inspiring for me. But also just driving down the road in my car, like I wrote Does Heaven Have a Creek on my way to the studio when we were finishing the record, you know.
And what would you say are the most important elements of a good song?
I mean, I'm always just trying to capture some kind of feeling, whether it's, you know, a ballad, mid-tempo, or a tempo song. There's just a feeling that's fairly indescribable. But if I feel something, then I feel like I can evoke that emotion out of people when I sing it. It feels more real, more authentic, if we're using buzzwords here. I don't know. I mean, I think another thing I like to say is that I don't feel like any of us are really all that special. I know that sometimes artists can definitely think that they are, but if you're just honest about like your story, your situation, there's probably a lot of people out there who have been through similar things or are in the middle of something similar to what you're going through, and you just tell the truth and it'll probably relate to someone or touch someone.
How do you know when a song's finished?
Oh, man. I mean, there's still sometimes where, like, I listen to a song after it's been recorded, and I'm like, damn, why didn't I say this right there? Why didn't I sing the melody this way? This last time, I handed it over. I had the songs. We picked the songs. I sang the songs. There was one song in particular that I changed the bridge on as I was singing the song. But I had read Rick Rubin's The Creative Act right before we went into the studio, and I actually bought everybody that was on the sessions a copy of that book and asked them to read it before we went into the recording sessions. But Rick talks in that book about, once your part is done, you've done your part, and now you have to trust the people that you have for the other jobs. So with this, like with Backslider, I was very involved in the mixing and editing process. I was there every day. I was standing over my mixer and producer's shoulder. This time, when I was done singing in the mic with all the songs, I looked at Oscar and said, "Have fun." And he worked on them for another few weeks. And when he turned them in, I said, "Do you feel good about what you did?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, it's done then."
Too early in the AM to take him for a walk. Same old thing, day in and day out. I'm racing and chasing some feeling I'm craving. I try to keep me satisfied, but my hell is too high, my heaven's too high. Jonesing like it's what I'm born to do. Always wanting something more, something new. More money in my pocket, more peace in my bones. I think if I had everything that I want, I'd still be jonesing. I'd still be jonesing. I'm always speeding right toward the edge. As soon as I get there, I'm looking for what's next. Everything that's killing me.
That was Jonesin' off the new album Damascus by LV Shane. Damascus comes out today, April 19th. We'll be right back after a quick message about our festival. Stay tuned in and chilled out with us. This is Muse. Hannafest and Festival of the Muse. September 6th and 7th in Irvine, Kentucky. The weekend pass for both events in one weekend is just $55. Tickets are on sale now at museky.com.wordpress.com. Special thanks to our supporters, Jetlane Recording of Richmond, Kentucky. JetlaneRecording.com. Muse is all about local. Visit our website at museky.com.wordpress.com to become a supporter of the podcast or magazine and get some big advertising on your small business budget. Welcome back. My guest this episode is Elvie Shane. Elvie's latest album, Damascus, came out last night on all platforms. We've talked about your process a little bit, and now I'd like to discuss the new album itself. In my opinion, this album's foundation is the emotional honesty. It touches on a lot of very meaningful subjects, and this album tells a story of your experience and observation between albums. One thing that you've been very open about is your struggle with addiction. You mentioned in a previous interview that there was a time after you met your wife when you stopped playing music for a little while. You've said that for a little bit you associated music with some negative things. So I'm curious about the moment when this way of thinking changed for you.
I was introduced to Sturgill Simpson and Blackberry Smoke, and Chris Stapleton was doing the Johnson's Brothers thing at that time. And I'd kind of just backed away from music altogether. My wife had a group of friends that had a band from her hometown that we had moved to, and she started asking if we could go to their show. So we started going out and became friends with those guys. And one night after a party, there was a guitar laying there, and I just grabbed it. And I'd been listening to the Johnson Brothers and kind of picked up on this song, Barely Alive. And I grabbed the guitar, and I was like, just started playing what I thought it was, how it was supposed to be played. And I sang that song. And when I got done, everybody kind of looked at me and was like, bro, you sing? And I was like, yeah, sometimes. So I started going out and playing shows with those guys, opening and playing their breaks at bar sets and stuff. But I bought my old guitar, Suzanne, my first guitar, was in real bad shape. So I bought a little Taylor GS Mini, like 3/4 size acoustic guitar off of Sweetwater, and started playing again, and started going out and playing that guitar at bars and stuff. Still got it. Haven't played it in a while. Need to pull it out of the closet and play it.
You've stated on Damascus that you followed your gut, that you chose to create without boundaries. I would imagine this is pretty freeing and therapeutic for an artist. Can you describe what it felt like to allow yourself to create in this manner?
Well, I mean, it was definitely a struggle throughout the process. It wasn't until, I think, September of last year that I finally got the go-ahead to get in the studio and record these songs. And we had 90% of them done, you know, months before that, as far as written. And some of them we had recorded, you know, as we had wrote them. The whole overlying theme of 60-70% of this record is struggle, whether it's working class struggle, addiction, the prison reform stuff that I talk about in 215-634. So I feel like it was necessary, you know, for me to be going through that as well. Also kind of like dipping back into some of those old habits that I'd sworn out of my life for a long time. And, you know, I don't know how you believe or anybody else sitting around me right now, but I was like, I remember one time having a conversation with God in the car, and I was just like, hey, I feel like I need to go down this road. Just don't let me go too far. And I don't feel like he let me go too far. It was definitely therapeutic to get these songs out. I think the most therapeutic part of this record was the sequencing. Like when I really sat down with the songs and I listened to the record from beginning to end, starting with Outside Dog and ending with Does Heaven Have a Creek? I was like, what is the purpose of all these songs? And as I started, you know, manipulating the sequencing a little bit, and I got to this final sequencing, I listened to it down and I was like, it was just some lost dude trying to find God and finding him in the end. So
Damascus, the title, you say having been taken from the story in the Bible of being on the road to Damascus, this feels very much like a soundtrack to self-discovery along the way. Did this ever make you feel vulnerable? And if so, how do you deal with that creatively?
I mean, I feel like I'm an open book. I don't really have any quarrels with just letting people know where I'm at or what's going on. You know, depending on the audience, I might dumb down the language a little bit, but with this particular project, I don't feel like there's any room for dumbing down. So I wanted to just put it all out on the table. A lot of these are my stories, but a lot of them, you know, or a few of them are stories of other people that I found interesting and important to tell. And I just told them from a first person point of view. You know, vulnerability seems to be the thing right now. I feel like we're kind of coming out of hair metal and into grunge rock and, out of bro country into this more authentic and raw space and country, which I think is really great. I do also feel like though we got to be careful as just like as an industry, because there's a lot of people that aren't comfortable with talking about these things, and it seems to be like a buzz topic these days. And there's some people that they don't really need to go back down those roads. I'm comfortable talking about it, but it only needs to be talked about. Some of these things only need to be talked about if you're open to talking about them, right?
Yeah. So standing on that road, I have to ask, do you feel like this was written from a perspective of looking forward or looking backward?
Looking forward, I would say. I mean, I feel like that's the only way I've been trying to look. It definitely, touches on the trip thus far, but I wanted people to get a sense for where I would like to go sonically, lyrically, melodically. Also, never want to put the same record out twice. That was the other part of Damascus, or naming this record Damascus, aside from the road to Damascus. Damascus is a type of steel that's where you take a bunch of different types of steel and you forge them together, and it'll come out with this. I just got done making one with a guy here in Tennessee named Kim Breed. We made a Damascus Bowie knife, and it's got all these beautiful, like, intricate lines in it from the different types of steel that are forged together. And so that gave me a narrative and a reason to explore a lot of different topics and different genres that have influenced me along the way, and kind of forge them together to make Damascus anywhere from, I became really, I've always been a Johnny Cash fan, but I had the opportunity to speak on a documentary about his struggle with addiction and faith last year or the year before. And in doing that, I studied Johnny religiously and gained a whole new love for him and what he was about, and took some of that with me. But then, we lost Mac Miller, who was, I think, an incredible hip hop artist, and his music influenced me a lot too. So I wanted to be able to put both of those guys on the same record together, along with people like Foo Fighters, Nirvana, John Fogerty, Steve Earle, and just mesh it all together and make the Damascus Blade.
Your first album, Backslider, it was pretty well received by country audiences, but this album, it steps outside of the genre lines. There's a big variety of influence evident in your latest work. Every single song has a completely different feel. Now, the first one that I put on repeat was Baptized, and I bet you're right, there's going to be a lot of babies made to this song. So listen responsibly. But this song has a real R&B flavor, complete with choir. How do you match the emotions to sounds?
Well, before the idea of Damascus was like fully formed, I'd been listening to a lot of Mac Miller, and I'd been having conversations with Oscar about the next record, and I was like, how could we blend like a little bit of this like Mac Miller soul with some kind of like country heartland rock sound? And then Baptized was the first song that we wrote, that kind of. That it was the first song we wrote on the first writing retreat after we put Backslider out. So Baptized was the first song written after Backslider. And I was like, as soon as we wrote it, I was like, I know I have to put this on a record. But that was one of the songs that where we were creating the track as we, were writing the song. That actual music from that track was recorded at that house in Alabama where Oscar took all of his studio gear and turned this rent house into a studio for a month. And so I was just really focused on Mac at that point in time. And there's a lot of like jazz and R&B and soul, musical influence in a lot of his tracks. And so it kind of lent itself that way. Plus, like, melodically, it was a little bit of an experiment for me. It's kind of has like some hip hop sensibility to it, but definitely, nothing I sing is ever going to really sound hip hop. You hear me talking, and I hear you talking. So, where we come from, it's going to sound country.
Do you think you'll know me when we get to heaven?
Well, if I don't, then I don't think I want to go.
Ain't streets of gold, it's piney hills and winding roads, and anywhere I get to go with you. On southern summer Sunday nights, with stars all dancing in your eyes, it's tempting, trying, tantalize, prove. If this ain't heaven on earth, not sure what heaven is worth, I damn sure ain't it.
This album has a very admirable quality, even beyond its musical elements, and that's the topics that you address. You hit on everything from addiction to prison reform. Now, you've said that you don't want to get too political, but you would like to open a line of dialogue among your fan base about these common struggles. Is there a particular feeling or a message that comes across or that you hope comes across in your music?
Well, I feel like with What Do I Know, which I think we put out in January, and the video even kind of captures how I feel about everything. The bridge of What Do I Know says, I think that grudges only hurt the ones who hold them, and sometimes we could agree to disagree. You know, and what I was watching during the whole process of Damascus was all these people, you know, on TV and in the city and standing across this big divide from each other that was created by one thing on a sign on opposite sides. Right. And there's to the point of like people hating each other and families not being able to get together for holidays and friends not being friends anymore. And it just kind of drove me sick. So I know behind that one thing that we're disagreeing on, sometimes there's a million other things that we probably agree on. And yeah, I do. I'm not afraid to voice my opinions on, you know, political, religious, or social beliefs. But if you ask me, I'll tell you, and I'll be honest. But sometimes it's just like, why do we just put all of that out there? Just especially knowing the social climate is like, I don't know what we benefit from it. Sometimes you can also like be good to people, and still some things need to be put out there, right? But you can also like silently stand up for certain things. You can empathetically stand up for certain things. So yeah, I don't know. I just want people to realize that within this record, I've got a chance to travel the world, and I've seen a lot of very I've seen much more similarities in the people that I'm talking about on this record, which is mostly working class people. I've seen much more similarities than differences, despite whether you're urban, rural, black, white, pink, yellow, brown. There's a lot of very similar issues at hand.
I think red lipstick on a woman's lips looks sexy. I think Coke's okay, but it's way damn better with Jack. Yeah, I think the Outlaws, Waylon and Johnny, are gone forever. I think Jesus, he's coming back. Oh, but what do I know? I'm just a hard-working beer-drinking son of an average Joe. Like to think there ain't nothing that I can't fix with a hammer and a crescent wrench. Oh, but what do I know? What do I know? What do I know? I think a six string's still the best way to tell a story. And that front porch step's the best place for a smoke. I think the moonlight is the best night light for lovers. Yeah, and heaven takes the good ones way too young. Just a hard-working beer-drinking son of an average Joe. Like to think there ain't nothing that I can't fix with a hammer and a crescent wrench. Oh, but what do I know? Sometimes we could agree to disagree, and I believe we're gonna reap the seeds we're sowing. So I try to keep my head down and conscience clean.
Thanks for tuning in and chilling out with Muse. We've been having a conversation with LV Shane, the Kentucky singer-songwriter whose latest album, Damascus, is out today on April 19th. As always, we appreciate you listening and encourage you to seek out and support all the artists that you hear on our show. Subscribe to Muse on your favorite podcast platform and visit our website at museky.wordpress.com to find out more about Muse and all things Kentucky music. LV Shane, thank you so much for joining us. Before we go, I have one last question for you. There are a lot of independent artists who listen to our podcast, and you are now where many of them would like to be someday, to make music their full-time job. In your experience, what would be the one thing that you would tell them to focus on?
Just be you, man. You know, like I said earlier, I don't feel like any of us are all that special. Sometimes we might feel like we are, but at the end of the day, we're not. Just be you, tell your story, be honest. Don't, the one choice you have, regardless if you're indie or you have a record deal or whatever, is when you step up to a microphone, what comes out of your mouth and into that microphone. So never put anything into a microphone that you don't believe in.
All right. And this is, again, LV Shane on Muse. Any last thoughts before we go?
No, I mean, other than I just hope people will give the record a chance. The best way to listen to it, I feel like it's from beginning to end. I started the record with Outside Dog, which is a very ego-driven song. And it was just like a lot of thoughts that I was having and stuff that I was dealing with and struggling with that I just felt like it was important to just say it and get it out, so that you could focus on some of the topics that are more important throughout the middle of the record. But as much as the record starts with a lot of ego, it ends with a lot of humility on Does Heaven Have a Creek and a lot of spiritualism. So I just hope people will listen to it through, and hopefully it'll kind of take them down the same road that it took me when I listened once I had it all sequenced.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate it. I'm going to be up that way soon. I think we're playing April 20, we're playing 420 in Ashland, Kentucky, doing the Rock the Country Festival. I think that day's with, like, I think the headliner is Kid Rock that night. And then I'm also playing Cincinnati on September 14th, I believe, with Parker McCollum at the Riverfront. So come see us if you get a chance.
Our guest this episode has been LV Shane. The new album, Damascus, is available everywhere April 19th. Buy the album, buy the merch, go to the show. LV Shane, thank you for joining me. Our conversation and this album have both been a pleasure.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Oh, and September 7th, 6th and 7th in Irvine, Kentucky, I'm having a music festival.
What's the name of your festival?
Festival of the Muse.
Festival of the Muse.
Yeah, come camp out and jam with us. We're going to have pancakes Sunday morning, too. It'll be real good. All righty. Well, thank you.
Hey,
I appreciate
you.
This is Muse.
Where the music is Muse.
Audio hugs.